We've provided.
Hey, this is David Poe, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Friday, January 19th, tune in to all sorts of special programming on the radio at WGXC. Jared Widgetude is live from Hudson with the Sugar Shack Jukebox after the local news at noon. At 4 p.m., we have an interview with the artist and musician Raven Chacon about a new collaboration he has with Wave Farm. At 8 p.m., we are live from Roulette in Brooklyn with the international contemporary ensemble Yvette Janine Jackson's T-Minus, a radio opera. And at the same time, we'll have a separate live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with the Saugerties-based band Blueberry performing. So tune in on the air to Yvette Janine Jackson's radio opera or on the website to Saugerties-based band Blueberry at 8 p.m. Friday, January 19th at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the community theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Page in Ghent, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Roger Justin reports for the Times Union that New York may close up to 5 correctional facilities soon in a cost-cutting measure. Great Meadow Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison in Washington County that can hold up to 1,611 inmates, is being considered for closure. In her budget proposal, Governor Kathy Hochul says that leaders of the state Senate and Assembly must be notified at least 90 days before any planned prison closures. State lawmakers must also be told how many inmates and staff are in each facility that may be shuttered. The state's prison population has been declining for years, down to 48,000 people in New York State and local correctional facilities, according to a report from the Advocacy Research Center Prison Policy Initiative. 6 prisons were closed in 2022, including the maximum security downstate correctional facility in Dutchess County. That saved taxpayers $142 million. State Senator Jake Ashby, a Rensselaer County Republican whose district also includes portions of Washington County, said, and I quote, "Forcing convicts into fewer and fewer facilities without investing in needed staffing has made our state prisons more violent and dangerous for inmates and the dedicated correction officers on the front lines of public safety." That's the legacy of the former Governor Andrew M. Cuomo administration's total misguided closures. It's one I'm urging Governor Hochul to reverse, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Zachary Basu reports for Axios that former President Donald Trump is considering picking Representative Elise Stefanik to be his vice presidential candidate. Stefanik is, and I quote, a top pick, end quote, according to former Trump chief strategist Steve Bannon. Stefanik was the first member of Congress to endorse Trump and will campaign with the former president in New Hampshire this weekend before the state's January 23rd primary. Trump reportedly told allies in December, and I quote, she's a killer, end quote, after Stefanik's confrontation with university presidents at a hearing on campus anti-Semitism. Stefanik would not comment on the vice presidential possibility and said, and I quote, I'm not going to get into any of my conversations with President Trump. I'm honored to call him a friend. I'm proud to be the first member of Congress to have endorsed his reelection, and he had a huge win in Iowa. So we're very excited about that, end quote. Read more about this story in Axios. Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that the so-called Fountain House in the middle of the town of Cairo is under contract from an unidentified buyer. The property, a 6,300-square-foot structure at 576 Main Street, was condemned by the town recently. Grist Mill Real Estate listed the property at $109,900. In 2022, the building was deemed, and I quote, unfit for human occupancy, end quote, and has been empty ever since. The building is a few feet from the Soldiers' Fountain that was put there in 1922 with a bronze memorial tablet and the names of 44 World War I veterans. The building dates back to between 1794 and 1800, making it one of the oldest in Cairo. The building is served as a post office, hotel, and a stagecoach stop on the Susquehanna Turnpike and was called Dexter's Dance Hall in the middle 1800s. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This is what the American people want to see. Both sides working together and governing responsibly. No chaos, no spectacle, no shutdown.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he hopes to see even more bipartisanship now that Congress is funding federal agencies into March and avoiding a shutdown. Half of House Republicans joined Democrats in passing the stopgap. That's frustrating for the right-wing Freedom Caucus, which complains continuing resolutions enable more spending and do nothing to control immigration. Republican Eli Crane represents Arizona.
Congress considers no budgets. Legislation never hits against cost limitations, and every bipartisan disagreement is solved simply by spending more on the pet programs of the opposing party.
House Republicans approved a pair of anti-abortion bills Thursday, one day before the annual March for Life rally in Washington. Massachusetts Democrat Ayanna Pressley says the measures aim to mislead about services on college campuses and at so-called crisis pregnancy centers, which try to guide the unknowing away from abortion.
Republicans are continuing their politically violent, thinly veiled misinformation campaign to ultimately enact a national abortion ban.
A judge in Washington state is rejecting an effort to block former President Donald Trump from the ballot. A citizen group challenged Trump's eligibility under the 14th Amendment bar on insurrectionists in office. School teacher Frankie Ithaca says the clear text of the Constitution disqualifies him.
I have to live by what I teach in the classroom and how I run my classroom. And this was part of that.
Meanwhile, a Maine judge has put Trump's ballot status there on hold until the U.S. Supreme Court rules on a similar Colorado case. And a new brief filed by Trump darkly warns disqualification promises to unleash chaos and bedlam nationwide. The court is scheduled to hear the case in 3 weeks. A Justice Department report details numerous police failures during the elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Children and staff were trapped with the killer for more than an hour with officers outside. 19 students and 2 teachers died. Attorney General Merrick Garland says they deserved better.
We hope to honor the victims and the survivors by working together to try to prevent anything like this from ever happening again, here or anywhere.
Women remain underrepresented in city offices nationwide, but not in St. Paul, Minnesota. The state capital is making history as the first large American city to elect an all-female city council with a supermajority of women of color. Council President Mitra Jalali says their top priorities are affordable housing, climate action, and public safety.
Today is a day I invite you to remember change begins at home. This council should give everyone a reason to hope.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Prince William County, Virginia announced January 11th that human and data errors in the 2020 election resulted in an overcounting of votes for Donald Trump and an undercounting of totals for Joe Biden. A statement issued by Prince William County's election director said Biden gained 1,648 votes, while Trump lost 2,327, not significantly affecting Biden's over 450,000 vote margin statewide. The Prince William Times reports that after the county registrar resigned, her replacement, Director of Elections Eric Olson, discovered the discrepancies. A state investigation found that inaccurate programming of voting machines in precincts with voters from two different congressional districts accounted for most of the errors. Human error resulted in one town being counted twice and another not counted at all. The errors also affected totals for U.S. Senator Mark Warner and his opponent and U.S. Congressman Rob Whitman and his opponent. Neither outcome was significantly affected. Felony charges were brought against the previous registrar, but have since been dropped. County and state officials say they have corrected the programming errors and added layers of verification to the process. Election Director Eric Olson said of the mistakes, "They do not reflect a purposeful attempt to undermine the integrity of the electoral process, and the investigation into this matter ended with that conclusion." We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. In an ironic turn of events, a solar energy project may soon sit atop a former Eastern Kentucky strip mine, 200 years after the first coal was produced in the Bluegrass State. Solar developer Bright Knight has proposed a $1 billion project on the site of the old Starfire mine. Daily Yonder contributor Kim Cobersmith says many hope it's an economic game changer, but it won't be simple.
The challenges for this project are threefold: the site itself, the number of partners involved, and the complexity of the engineering.
New federal infrastructure funds aim for renewable projects on former mine lands, but Cobersmith says locals want to make sure they also profit.
Especially in a region with a history of extraction, keeping at least some of the wealth generated in the local area benefiting local people is a crucial element of development.
If approved, Bright Knight says its solar energy could power 170,000 homes. Folks in southwest Colorado fought to keep a birth center open, but rural access to reproductive health care is still an issue nationwide. Susanna Brown explains.
When the birthing center in Cortez, Colorado, announced it was closing, a group of activists protested fiercely. Organizer Lindsay Yeager said losing it would have had a domino effect.
It was really going to affect women's health care in all facets, that it wasn't just going to be that you wouldn't be able to deliver a baby there.
After 10 days of protests, Southwest Health System said the center would stay open, a big victory for Yeager and her fellow activists.
Every baby that's been born there, every mom that's received care there, every woman that's been able to get care there since the date of that potential closure was worth fighting for.
But nationwide, less than half of all rural hospitals offer maternal services, and the number is dropping. Rural women die in childbirth at rates 25% higher than urban women. I'm Susanna Brown.
Northeast of Cortez, in Breckenridge, Colorado, a new art show is highlighting rural queer voices. The In Plain Sight exhibit features art by people sometimes overlooked in flyover country. Artist Ben Cuevas combines photographs and fiber.
It's important for people to know that queer people exist in rural spaces. Queer people are everywhere and thriving.
The show also focuses on how each artist relates to the physical environments around them. Lindsay Cherick Waller is a painter based in Red Wing, Minnesota.
You can be queer and non-binary, and you can live in a small town, and you can still be happy and create the kind of life that you want, regardless of where you are.
In Plain Sight continues at the Breckenridge Exhibit Space through April 28th. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, January 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 8 degrees in Steventown to 18 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 33. We are getting snow today. It should fall all day long. An inch should accumulate by dark. 2 inches up in the hills. We get a high of 25 degrees at 1 p.m. After dark, the snow tapers off, coming to an end by 11. We get a low of 12 degrees. Watch out for those pipes. Tomorrow will be pretty windy with a high of 19 degrees, making conditions relatively dangerous if you are not properly protected. 11 degrees overnight takes us into a slightly better but still bitter cold Sunday with a high of 24. Overnight, the temperature bottoms out at 10 degrees before we get a Monday with a high of 34. And that's it. Winter is over. Next week is going to be above freezing. Sunset today will be at 4:38 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be average at 449 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 113, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris. Plus, a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Now I'd like to introduce you to the person, Galani Holly. I had a chance to speak with him on Saturday morning. He was in a hotel room in Boston, getting ready for a show, and as I said earlier, he'll be here in Saugerties in the Catskills on Sunday, January 21st. Tickets are still available. He's playing at the local, so check that out. I don't know how I want to get us into this interview. We spoke for an hour. This is just a selection of that chat, but I think the best place to start is I asked him about his creative process. His music, each song only comes out once. In other words, when he records a song, that's the only time he's going to play it. When he plays live, again, he's just singing a song for the first time. He calls it improvisational creativity. So let's get into him talking more about it. Again, I asked Lonnie about the creative process around his music, how he'd describe it, and, well, here we go. Here's Lonnie Holly and me talking the other day by Zoom.
Well, for one thing, music has been something that I've been involved with all of my life, literally all of my life. Because my mother and my father was into music, my grandfather and grandparents, they was into music, whatever way they got it. Some of us had to get it We snuck to get it. One would say you sneaked out to listen at your favorite music, and then you snuck back home and you acted like you haven't been anywhere, but you had got a dose of what you went seeking for, and that was satisfaction. A lot of times we don't see music being like butter, and it's being spreaded on that piece of bread for you to enjoy that piece of bread better. Or I try to help people understand what music actually is doing to us and our brains and our satisfaction. Our sanctification, we're satisfied. We are sanctified. We are all of these other things. The saints that we talk about or speak about or sing about, their character is put into the form of lyrics. And those lyrics go into our brain for us to thoughtsmith them out, to figure them out. And as we figure them out, we find a great use for what their potentials were, what they intended to do for us. Because a lot of people just be doing it. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They just, this is something that I inherited. I inherited the groove, the swag, the move, the vocal, the lyrics, and all of these other things. I inherited. But to put it together where it could be understood better. And that's what we're doing now. And I appreciate you getting in touch with me by the digital, because it's a digital concept in a global manner. I call it digitalization by globalization activities. But it's more to that than meets the eye, because you got all those wires, you got all of those little opponents in the computers, into our monitors for us to be able to see or hear each other. It's so complex now. And an artist such as myself, that's where my lyrics is coming from. Out of all those years of figuring out what the hell is this music? It makes me feel so good, but yet and still, I haven't figured out why. And now that I'm old enough to take the time and dive into my ocean of thought and pull out the right information to service the humanity. The humanities need services. They need servicing, just as any automobile. Just as, I don't care how huge our aircraft is, they need servicing in order for them to take us somewhere along the journey of life.
So imagination and inspiration clearly play a part of this in your live performances. I'm wondering if you could talk, especially about imagination and the ways in which your music, both the music itself, but also your lyrics, they really come tumbling out of you in a live performance. And I know that this is improvisation. So it's when I've seen recordings of you play live and I'm seeing your performance in Socrates here in a couple of weeks. It's both joyous as a music listener, as a fan, but it's also, it feels momentous to see it happen in person.
Well, I think what you're requiring and requesting is that you want to get a better understanding of the how come, the heartbeat of it all. See, I have to think of something that I can say that could make it plain and make it easy for us to understand. The heartbeat of it all. To make it work for the whole entire body. Because a lot of people, they got music, but they don't have music for the right time. They sometimes would overlook what is required for the times. Music is information. Music, and we was talking about it the other day, music is that little boy on the corner saying, extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, listen all about it. Listen to what it's all about. Listen. Listen to the earthquakes. Listen to the hard falling of the rain that is going to flood our town. Listen to those that is giving you the information of what's going down. I'm not just trying to sit up here and write no lyrics that's going to get me no Academy Award for rapping. I'm rapping to try to get people's attention where they can appreciate being talked to. They need this time to be talked to because they are so afraid. We're just coming out of COVID. We still having weather conditions that we don't understand because of the climate change. We still have places on earth that is being caught on fire. We still have places on earth that is called the war zone, where bombs and missiles is popping off like popcorn. We're doing things to the planet that we don't even understand, that the gases, the fumes, the odors, and all these other things, when they come together, what kind of explosive manner will they make? So a person such as myself try to, over the years, by me being an artist and seeing where art have arrived from, not so much of the paintings. I'm trying to protect what's in every museum on this earth when I say thumbs up for Mother Universe and all of her attendants. We're just the attendants. We're just her students. But are we shooting hooky? Are we being late, tardy for class? Because we are trying to do what we like instead of studying what we need. We're one of the greatest nations on earth when it comes down to full study. But if I don't see the students doing their very, very best to appreciate the brain that they have, something going on. Somebody don't fool you not to appreciate your own personal brain. Not so much your exterior. Anybody can see that anytime you go, wherever you go. But nobody can't see the functioning of your brain. I don't want to overtalk you either.
You won't, I promise. So you mentioned the butter and the bread earlier. And I want to read something that I heard you say out loud at a performance. You said, art is the material source of our minds. It's what we gather and what we do after we gather. That sounds a lot like bread and butter.
It is like bread and butter. Because why would I gather it? If I wasn't going to spread it, if I wasn't going to let it make me comfortable and all that surrounds me comfortable. I grew up as a little bitty boy in one of the greatest arenas. It wasn't, I wasn't in Rome. in the Coliseum watching them fight each other down to become the emperor. I were in Rome to see the columns that was left over in a more decaying stage, but they was left as a historical marker. When I went through the National Geographic and I saw the pyramids, and then I looked back to see the Nubian pyramids and all of this, and then I kept on looking back down the timeline of Africa all the way down to past Ethiopia into the Congos, into the wetland. And I saw that the wetland was not stable enough to hold up a giant pyramid. It would have sunk right into the earth because the earth was so moisturized that it would take in everything in. You see? So all the time, I'm figuring out, how can I get these people to understand the timeline itself and how it allowed us in our migrationable, the way we migrated, a move from one place to the other in that timeline, and how we grew our brain, how we increased our wisdom and our knowledge along the way. Along the way, we learned along the way. And I'm not arguing at anybody about any period on that timeline, because each timeline has its amount of seconds to give unto us its educational formats.
I'm curious to know how your work as a musician now, how it's different from your work as a mixed media artist, and if there is a difference, or if the process is different for you.
They're coming from the same brain. The work is coming from like Siamese twins that thinking just alike, but having two mouths. The art has a mouth, and the music has a mouth. The art has a formula, and the music has a formula. The art chooses subjects, and the music chooses subjects. We put all that together as one big bog, and we got a gumbo-ish universal manner. We got everything that we need, but we have to figure it out. We have to continue to work it to untangle it, to unwind it. I see the cat in the background on a painting that you have, but when that cat get that ball of yarn, she gonna tangle it up. And then for you to do anything with the yarn, you're gonna have to untangle it. It's the same thing with life. All the things that we have worked with, and we got so much. And that's what I'd be grabbing for. Their trash, garbage, and their debris. I'd be trying to figure it out. Where it is going to end up at. After you throw it away, after you put it into the landfill, where will it end up in 25 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years? Where will it end up? And what about that cannot be biosatisfied? Satisfying the bios or our land, our earth that craves our cultivating. The earth craves our cultivating. We must cultivate it. We must keep it replantable. Reusable. It's us that have to keep it replantable and reusable. Otherwise, if we just throw everything around leave it this way or that way and leave it up to the climate and the weather.
So that's clearly
it's the wind that can blow a mountain down. What you think about most of the little particle like debris that we throw away? It's got to end up somewhere, my friend. To the tiniest particle that I would have to take my magnifiers just to see. What I wear, these are my magnifiers, but they allow me to see the smallest little thing that I'm holding in between my fingers.
Did you listen to the radio growing up?
I listened to the Rockola, if you know what the Rockola was, the jukebox. I listened to the radios. I listened to what they call the phonograph record player. I listened even to the one that had the horns on them. Beautiful sound that those things let off. But this piece of wax that went around, it just kept going around. It always puzzled me how it got to be made until I got to the point of going into studios and having the opportunity to see a vinyl record made. And I learned to appreciate it, but I also learned to appreciate how fragile those containers were. Versus the contained ways of my cassette tapes or the real tapes. We was in Rhode Island last night and we were in a theater and they had all the reels on the wall, how they used to play the movies. And it carried me back to a piece that William Arnett, Matt's father, had selected. Don't edit the wrong scene out. It was just a roll of film because I lived it by a drive-in. I started looking at the movies when I was 4 and a half. By 5 years old, I had built me a little shed up on top of the house and laying just like you got on your ear right now. I was laying between two speakers from the drive-in between stereo sound. So what we are doing every day now, I was doing that in 1955. But I couldn't walk around with two drive-in speakers, but I could have rigged it up on my head like you got those speakers on your head.
Musician and artist Lonnie Holly. Thank you.
2023 new music there from Japan's Food Man. That was Fuwari from a 2023 release.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Kelly McCon. Campbell Hudson is hosting its monthly dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 in our Solaris building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community and meet new people and old friends over a freshly prepared meal made by our local volunteers. Everyone is invited and no one will be turned away. We'll be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lazowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Health experts recommend limiting how much beef you eat, but some people will eat a burger for lunch and steak for dinner. Diego Rose of the Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine found that on any given day, about 12% of Americans eat what he calls a disproportionate amount of beef. And the 12% who load up their plates with red meat eat about 50% of the total amount of beef that's consumed by Americans in a day.
And so that was kind of startling.
Rose says eating too much red meat is not only bad for people's health, it also harms the climate. Producing beef causes 8 to 10 times more carbon pollution per serving than chicken, and 50 times more than beans. So Rose encourages consumers to eat less beef. It does not require swearing off steak and ribs. People eat beef in all sorts of dishes.
So we're talking, you know, burritos and tacos and pastas and soups and stews. Lots of places that people may not think of as a big beef source, but that accounted for over 50% of the beef eaten on any given day.
So he says there are lots of ways for people to remove at least some of the beef in their diets for the good of their health and the climate. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1968. That was the day Johnny Cash performed at Folsom Prison. The Man in Black had played numerous free prison concerts before. Country music legend Merle Haggard remembered seeing him perform at San Quentin a decade earlier. Columbia Records recorded the two concerts at Folsom for release. It was these recordings that many credit with revitalizing the career of Johnny Cash. His daughter Roseanne believes the 1968 appearance signified her father's own personal liberation, saying, quote, "That was the moment he came into the light, when he embodied who he really was." Performing with the Tennessee Three, June Carter, Carl Perkins, and the Statler Brothers, Cash hit the charts with Folsom Prison Blues, which sold more than 3 million copies at the time. He also took the opportunity to advocate for prison reform and prisoners' rights, providing testimony on the subject in the early 1970s. His brother told the BBC in an interview, quote, "He identified with the prisoners because many of them had served their sentences and had been rehabilitated in some cases, but were still kept there for the rest of their lives. He felt a great empathy for those people." Cash might not have actually shot a man in Reno, but he always sided with the underdog. His songs highlighted the working man's life, from the sharecroppers, coal miners, and auto workers to railroaders, truckers, and prison chain gangs. Cash always gave an unromanticized view of hard living and hard labor, as well as interracial and class solidarity.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
That train keeps a-rolling.
Berlin pianist Niels Fromm is known for his intimate and spontaneous concerts, and on the next Deep Threes, we'll hear an impromptu composition. Plus, music from Max Richter, Ylang Ylang, Sky Thing, and Maya Beiser. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we are going to hear Two Hamlets, a track from the 2023 album Reflect and Oppose from Sky Furrows. That's Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and Albany-based musicians Eric Hardiman, Mike Griffin, and Phil Donnelly. Here is Two Hamlets from the 2023 album Reflect and Oppose from Sky Furrows.
Trim it, give it a lather, a steam towel. Big smile, gosh, looks great, I'm glowing. Shave a few pounds, rave about a new show on Netflix. Project a disembodied speaker, brush dirt off my sweater. Dialogue, exposition, imperative persona. Wipe it out, erase it, deploy predictable patterns.
Gold spinning tones sung without note. I no longer had to choose. House beneath the pines, beneath thinking and watching Chopped and feeling sad about the breakup. I spoke a different language. I was Slovenian. I bent down to smell a flower. It was yellow and red and pink. It was any color it wanted. It split from itself and made a new flower, spreading sweetness in blue sugar air. Bitter green celery raga of air. Spinning air, turning air into air. Kettle water, spinning yarn. Spinning rail, spinning tangled trail. Knitting, thickening, tangled, never untangled. Iridescent insect thrumming air. Spinning rage into gold, rampage, rose tone, rag, spinning song. Outside the measure, inside, outside philosophy, touching, two hands hold. Two perfect hamlets being and not being. Ride in the car to the fast food restaurant. In suburban headlight night with mom and dad. Who will see the golden arches first? Perfect hamlets being and not being. Ride in the car to the fast food restaurant. Two perfect hamlets being and not being. Two perfect hamlets being and not being.
Skyfur is from 2023 album Reflect and Oppose. That was Two Hamlets.
simply for hell. Anyone can change you into a machine. Girl or white, black or boy. It's all very strange into a machine. Come with me. Fox and I, making pictures of tomorrow's sun. Just to prove that there is one. The future sets our love. And I, decades later at my DJ night, our conversation takes flight. Kraftwerk and clavichords,